Acts chapter 17, and we'll read from verse 10. Perhaps you'll remember that the Apostle Paul and Silas and Timothy had been at Thessalonica, and there had been some opposition to them in Thessalonica, and the disciples there, the new church, the young church, decided to let the apostles go by night out of the city for their protection and preservation. And we read in verse 10, "And the brethren," that is the brethren in Thessalonica, "immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honourable women which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as it were to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed." Amen. May God bless this reading to us. There's something very lovely about this little city of Berea. If you still have those maps that were left out last week sitting on the chair beside you, you'll see that Berea is still up there in the top left-hand corner. It's under the heading Macedonia, which tells us that we're still in Europe. We're still in that southern part of Europe, what we now call Greece. And there's a number of towns. Philippi is there, Thessalonica is there. These are the two major towns in the region before you get down to Athens at the bottom. And this is Berea, which is just a little town to the side there of Thessalonica. And it was here that the apostle went to, the apostles Timothy, Apostle Paul, Timothy and Silas went when it appeared Thessalonica was becoming too violent or the people there too difficult for the safety of the preaching. And this little city, Berea, has come down to us as a place where there was a nobility. And that's what I mean by something very lovely about the town. Not because of its location and its scenery, although it seems to have been a very pretty place. It was at the bottom of a mountain. It was in a flat. It reminded me a little bit of Shoto, actually. It was in a flat place at the bottom of a mountain with several rivers running past it. It had been strategically located in order to take the benefits of the local environment. And it was fertile and there was lots of fruit grown around there. But what made that place noble was the attitude of the people there in the synagogue when Paul arrived. He went straight to the synagogue, as he often did, and he began to preach from the scriptures. Not the whole Bible as we currently know it, but the Old Testament scriptures, which was the scriptures available at that time and the scriptures from which the Jews took their doctrine. And what Paul did, as he did in other places, was he showed them that the Messiah spoken of in the Old Testament had indeed to come. And he showed them the kind of Messiah that he would be, what he would say, what he would do, what he would suffer, and how he would die. As we were thinking a little bit about that last week in Thessalonica also. But in Thessalonica, there had been a reaction by the Jews against this teaching. Whereas in Berea, they were more considerate. They wondered about this message. And when the Apostle Paul then went on to show them that the one whom the prophets were speaking of in the Old Testament was in fact Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who had died and risen and ascended into heaven, then we find that they seriously considered the message that they were hearing. You know, this tells us something about the importance of the Word of God. And when we're a little bit younger, we might think there's lots and lots out there for me to know, lots of things that I want to read. And that's true when you get older as well. You know, some of us enjoy reading, for example, the biographies of famous people, or the wisdom of educated men and women, or perhaps the musings of entertainers, and we enjoy reading and getting all of these good things. Even sometimes when I'm standing in the supermarket checkout lane, I get to realize that there's a lot of people like to read about the excesses of celebrities. There's so many words in this world. There's something for everyone. But the noble Bereans studied the scriptures. And that's a good example for us. Because whatever it is that we're going to read, let us not forgo reading the Bible. Let us not forget to come to the Word of God. Because it doesn't matter how good the author is. And you might be a famous writer. You might be the wisest philosopher. You might be the most entertaining. But when it comes to Scripture, we're talking about God's words. We're talking about the revelation of Almighty God to men and women. And therefore, we come to the Scriptures with a humility. We come to the Word of God with a seriousness. We come with our eyes open and our ears open and our mind engaged so that we might learn what God is saying to us. These apostles, the little apostolic band, had fled Thessalonica during the night, likely to escape these violent Jews. And again, Paul goes straight to the synagogue. And we're told that when he preached and these people heard, many of them believed. And I mentioned last week about the frequency with which the apostle mentions that the women believed. And I think, again, here we see that Luke, the writer, is directing us to see that amongst those who heard the word of God were the women. And that is important. You know, so many ways in which women, even still today, feel that they are being put down and not being given proper place. And that sometimes happens in churches. But here we're told that it was the women who believed. And I think that's lovely that the apostles were ready to note that these women were faithful, these women were listening to the word of God. It is a good thing to hear the gospel preached. And even if you don't understand it all, even if it doesn't all make sense to you, nothing that you learn in life makes sense to you the first time you read it. You always have to study in order to learn something that is worthwhile learning. And that's what we endeavor to do when we come into church, to study the Word of God, to keep listening, to ask God for wisdom, that He might teach us how to understand the Word of God. And of course, it's always good to ask other people also who maybe have a little bit more experience or have studied these things a little bit longer. So don't be afraid to ask questions also. The Jews in Thessalonica had proved their opposition to the gospel, and it seems that they weren't simply content to get Paul out of town. They wanted to shut this man up entirely. And so they left their own town and they travelled to Berea, and they heard that Paul was preaching there. So they tried to silence him in Berea as well. They stirred up the people there in opposition to the gospel. And that again reminds us that the true gospel will always cause people to be offended. We shouldn't be concerned if people take umbrage or in some way get disturbed or distressed by the gospel when it is preached. If we try to make the gospel acceptable to men and women, we will discover that we draw the very essence out of the message. But if we speak the truth and we leave the Lord to deal with the heart of the hearer, then we will discover that either they will listen or they will oppose. And that's what happened here. Some listened and some opposed. And men will always try to silence the truth of God, but God will always protect and deliver and overcome his opponents. So when these Thessalonians came to Berea, we discover that Paul again was whisked away by the new converts. They realized that the apostle's life was in danger, and so this church here that had been established in Berea, probably in a very short period of time, takes the well-being of the apostles seriously and endeavors to get them away. And it was a little subterfuge. I wonder if you noticed that. A little deviousness went on here, which I think is enough to cause us to smile. You know what these believers did? They headed for the coast. They headed to the nearest port, as if they were going to put Paul onto a boat to send him across the sea. And when they got to the port, they didn't get on the boat. They took a sharp right and they headed down the coast to Athens. And so they kiddied on the enemies of the gospel. They made them think that something was going to happen and then did something different. And I think it's interesting to see the way in which they acted here. And the reason was, of course, that Paul was not yet ready to leave Macedonia. God had called him to Macedonia. Remember the vision that he'd had? Come over and help us. And he'd gone to Philippi and then Thessalonica. And now he'd spent some time in Berea. There had been churches planted in these three towns. And now he was going to Athens. And when he got there, he would preach the gospel as well. God's purpose is to call his elect wherever they might be. And he uses preachers and he uses the preaching of the gospel to do that. And we can but rejoice at the faithfulness of these men in the past who put their lives on the line, who labored in the gospel, who were in danger often from the enemies of the truth, and yet who pressed on in their task, in their responsibility, taking no thought for their own well-being, but seeking the glory of God and the well-being of the Church of Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us, and as we leave Paul today, we'll be leaving him in Athens, and we'll pick up on another occasion, God willing, there. Thank you for your attention.